This is the Happy Hour Network.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/latenightparents. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrials.com/latenightparents.
Want to thank you guys again for joining us, Late Night Parents. This is Ted Hicks coming to you. Doors are opening in the studio. Kids are coming downstairs. We're really excited about tonight. Tonight's walkabout. You can catch us on Twitter. Go to the Twitter page. Look for Real Ted Hicks. Look for Late Night Parent. Catch us on Facebook. You can find us under Late Night Parents. Or you can go to the portal. Our website is latenightparents.com. And for those of you that are lazy, lnp.tv is the place to be. You can find our weekly show is available along with everything else that's available on Late Night Parents. Want to thank you guys again for joining us. Want to say a special thank you to our special, super special sponsor for the next 6 months, Verizon Fios TV. Verizon Fios, want to thank you guys. The agreement is done. Happy about it. You're going to hear me talking about Verizon for the next 6 months and tweeting about it and blogging about it. They're working hand-in-hand with Late Night Parents. Really excited. Want to thank our media partners. I usually say radio partners, but our media partners. But this wouldn't be done unless you're tuning in live to the Happy Hour Network. That is our home. Thanks again to Todd and Lee for all that you guys do. Management, the management of HHN, want to thank you guys. We're live every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. But our media partners, there's so many to thank. We're going to do the roll call really quick. UNIR1.us, the UNIR1 Radio TV Media Network. Mr. Scott Price, thank you. Life Improvement Radio, Steric Rimmel, thank you. I-95 Sports Network, Bobby Blackjack, want to say thank you. NGSC Sports, Ralph Garcia, what's up, Ralph? And they power us on the iHeartRadio app. Go to iHeart.com, go to NGSC Sports, and look for the Late Night Parent podcast, which is available every week. The universe continues, the LNP universe continues to expand. We're excited about it. Why? Because we just got picked up by theunder.us. That's the underground. Shout out to the big homie 9-0. What's up there? Proud to be a part of your network now. It's a hip hop network. I mean, we're expanding the word all over. I want to thank XRP Radio in the UK, Mr. Tiz Shearer. We're international, baby. Thanks again. Arena Sports Network, Brian Snow, want to say thank you to you and your team for airing us in every, you know, shape, form, and fashion through the TuneIn Radio app. Want to thank, we stream on the 405radio.com. Want to thank you guys for streaming our show 24/7. You can pull it. It's not available as a push. It's available as a pull. So you go there, you go to partners, you go to Late Night Parents, and boom, you see all the podcasts. And lastly, my brother from another mother, H5, the Jimagination Unlimited Network. They play us too every week. So I want to thank our partners. We really appreciate what you guys do for us. The brand is continuing to expand in all different ways. Excited about Verizon, the work we're going to be doing with them. Like I said, you're going to be seeing the tweets and the posts. It's good to have a sponsor. It's good to have a sponsor. It's great. That's when you kind of think about all the work that you're doing. I want to thank, I thanked them before, but special shout out to Scott Price, UNR1. Appreciate all that you guys do, the web presence for Late Night Parents. You guys make it happen. We got a great show tonight. It's only 60 minutes, 60 minutes per week. What are we going to be talking about? Our first guest is internet streaming media guru. Michael B. is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking Amazon. We're going to be talking streaming media. It's a topic that, because the space itself is so crowded, it's crazy now because you don't know what to do. You're hearing everyone's, you know, it's past the point of cutting the cord. So we're going to be talking with Michael B. very shortly. At 30 minutes past the hour, we're going to be talking with none other than another brother from my mother. I don't even know if I said that right. I'm that excited. Buckle Bruce is going to be joining us from Tampa, Florida it's ATL via Tampa, Florida. Buckle Bruce from the Barbershop Sports Days is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl that's coming up this week. This weekend, great time to be a sports fan. National Signing Day is today. You got the Super Bowl. You got all the signings with, you know, Major League Baseball. We just had the NHL All-Star Game. We just had the Pro Bowl. So, you know, we usually talk about, you know, the latest trends and game changes in parenting, technology, education, sports, and product reviews. But you know what? Tonight, we're talking a little tech. We're going to talk a few products. And we're talking sports tonight. Parents, you got to go to the blog. We always put up the blogs for you. So, just really excited about all the people that do reach out to us. It was a great day. It's been a great week. It's been a great year. LMP 16 expecting a lot of great things. So before I go into this interview, I want to shout out our good friends at freeconference.com. And today's interview, this first interview, was done earlier today with our friends freeconferencecall.com. So I want to shout out our friends. So that's your plug. We're going to plug it again at the start of this interview. But we'll be right back after this interview.
And this is Late Night Parents with Ted Hicks coming to you. It is February 3rd, Wednesday. This interview is not during our live show, but happening on the same day as our live show. So happy to have a good friend to the room, Michael Blanco, back again. We're doing a recording for, you know, we kind of talk about internet streaming, and we talk about mobile phones, and we kind of just talk about all different types of tech. But here's the plug. I'm doing this recording on our friends freeconference.com. Want to thank our good friends who visited us a few weeks ago out in Toronto. Michael, how you been?
I've been good, Ted. Been very good. It's great to have my 10 minutes with Ted once again. It's always great to talk to you.
You've been promoting this 10 minutes with Ted. I'm like, okay, you know what? It's starting to catch on slowly with me, but I gotta tell you, it's always good to hear your voice, talk with you, because I know there's going to be nothing but great things coming out of your end, from your side on, you know, the latest in tech,
the latest with, you know, specifically streaming media. So I guess we'll get into it, because I know we only have a few minutes, but I just wanted to get your take just right out the gate. I mean, we see Google and we see Apple and we see Microsoft, and, you know, they're fighting for that specific space. That space is a plethora of applications. But I've got to tell you, I am so much more impressed with Amazon and their CEO and president and founder, Jeff Bezos, with what he's doing. You know, and it's, you know, from, you think about it, 10, 12 or so, 15 years ago, we were ordering items from a website, and they would magically just appear. But, you know, that empire has built up and is fattened up, and lately there's talk about Amazon purchasing, you know, physical brick-and-mortar stores. They're talking about bringing back the bookstore.
You know, that right there, I feel, would be a great move for Amazon. And if they can give some of the smaller locations a shot at being a piece of Amazon, it would be good for a lot of small communities. Because Amazon has built up a very good reputation. And I think that the next step would be to have people actually walk into an Amazon location. Well, think about it the way that I do is, it's great to order things online, but sometimes you want to put your hands on an item. And to be able to walk into a location, you know, put your hands on it, feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, you know exactly what you're going to be getting. It'll make my future online purchases go a lot smoother. I'm always been a hands-on person myself, where I like to physically see an item before I will make a big purchase on them. And Amazon has done a great thing with their presentations online. And to win over to the next level of community, they really need to invest in mom and pops, get the stores out there. If you notice, Google has started doing the same thing, where you can't go to any website without having to sign in with your Google ID or your Google password. You know, so it's just becoming a good standing to keep your presence out there. And to have a physical brick and mortar location, I think would be a great move for Amazon.
Definitely.
To order an item online and say, well, we'll have it shipped to the local store around the corner from you,
right,
would be a beautiful move.
Right. Because I think we're looking at it, when we hear stories like this, we kind of look at it and we say, oh, okay, they're going to bring physical books back for the people, for the readers that want the physical book. But I'm thinking it's so much bigger than that. And I was speaking with one of my buddies earlier today, and we were talking about what else could they offer. And I said, well, they offer a place, a brick-and-mortar place, where they could house, let's say they have real estate, they have, you know, they have their regular brick-and-mortar store, but they could make the real estate inside one of their locations available, you know, a certain corner or something like that, kind of like when you see a store inside of a store. You know,
exactly.
Or
exactly.
Like
it's like in my neighborhood now, you can't walk into a D&D, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, and not get your Baskin Robbins. As a kid,
right.
I remember walking into Baskin Robbins for their 31 flavors, you know, as an independent store. But now,
correct,
they're within your Dunkin' Donuts. So
right.
If Amazon, in my opinion, Amazon could do something great with being Amazon plus, say, something like a UPS drop spot. Or a mailbox, et cetera, you know, where they're housing the real estate itself, the land itself can be paid for by being an extension of a post office. So we'll have some postal boxes within one. But if you do need your Amazon item delivered, it can come to our local store. You come in with your ID and you'd be able to pick it up. So we've all seen these horror stories
of the way packages get treated by FedEx or UPS or these private delivery companies where they're just thrown over a fence, thrown into a back door, thrown into a yard. You know, having that brick-and-mortar store, you know it's coming from the Amazon vendor, coming directly to a location, and you're going to receive that item in a good condition.
That's true. That's true. I'm thinking about the Amazon locker. I'm thinking about, you know, that they can use it for additional warehouse space, like hot spots, like kind of like those type of cool zones where they can offer, hey, kind of like what I saw over the holiday break, where if you were located anywhere between, say, 14th Street or and going all the way downtown, downtown Manhattan, Amazon was piloting a program where, hey, you pick up something specifically that's on our site, we'll get it to you within an hour.
Exactly. I've seen those ads myself, and I've actually seen a few of the peddlers, the guys that jump on their bicycle, delivery messengers.
Yes.
That would jump on their bicycle, run over to the liquor store, grab that bottle of wine that you've ordered, and they're zooming off, dropping it off to someone's home, which is an incredible asset for them.
Totally.
You know, and like I say, that complements the neighborhood, that complements that little mom and pop that's trying to keep their business going.
Yes.
Now it's going to prompt them more to advertise, to be more of a bigger part of Amazon, knowing that they are reduced in the cost of delivery.
The other piece where you totally jumped on it was, I had to think about it, but you just validated the point that was made to me earlier today when I was having a similar conversation. When we were sitting here and we were talking about what if Amazon turns around, let's say 2017 or 2018, and says, you know what, FedEx, UPS, United States Postal Service, you guys are great, but we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to have our own shipping arm for our own, you know, equipment and goods that, you know, that consumers want to purchase. And that only increases the experience and, you know, where nowadays, you know, to be a Amazon Prime member, you can get that 2-day turnaround. What if the new norm becomes, hey, one day or less than a day becomes the new norm?
Well, the with Amazon, the shipping structure is already there. And if they could promise a delivery from location Amazon location A to Amazon location B in that 24 to 72-hour period, they're already set for that.
Right.
So just imagine, like we're talking now, you have one little Amazon store or one little Amazon location in every town. And we can say, well, we're going to pick up in Wisconsin, store A, and we're going to drop it off in New York, store B.
Right.
It's all in-house shipping. So we're going to take it to our main warehouse, put it onto that plane, and get it right to that next location. So along with your bottles of wine, along with those items that you're purchasing, along with those videos or DVDs, now you have a location that you can walk in and pick up your item.
You're right.
The infrastructure is majorly already in place. It's just changing the attitude to get it to be more accepted. Now it's definitely gonna hurt UPS, and it would definitely hurt FedEx. Because I believe that people would be more trusting of Amazon. And from one Prime member to another Prime member, you're using the same company, the same corporation as a middleman.
Right. Just think of this. When you go to the site and you're buying someone and you kind of see the logo, hey, this is an Amazon-sponsored reseller, you know, you're more than likely to say, okay, I'm going to do it. Because it has that logo, and it's not just the random,
random person. Amazon has already given me that credibility. They've already put that trust that the item that I'm ordering, the item that I'm looking at, is that legitimate item.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
Where eBay used to be in that arena where you'd be able to walk into an eBay store where, you know what, I got these 15 items I need to sell. I'm going to take them to your location. I'll drop them off. and you guys advertise them on eBay, take your percentage, and try to move the item. I've known people that would do that, and the item would sit 6 months, 8 months, a year. Someone would get it and return it because it wasn't exactly what they wanted. With Amazon, you know that you're going to be secure in getting the product that is being represented.
Just in close with Amazon, I got to tell you that, number one, there's been times where everything hasn't gone the right way. There's been times when I've had to return something. And I tell you, when I take it to the UPS or the FedEx, and the minute they scan the barcode, I'm getting a message on my phone saying the funds were already released back to your account,
exactly.
Which I thought was awesome.
Exactly. And I can say the infrastructure is already there for client or customer fulfillment. Now, the big thing now is one of the reasons where a lot of individuals are offset about ordering things is that if it's the wrong item, to get a partial refund, you know, is a big deal for a lot of people. I can't see myself spending $100 on an item and having to return it because it's not exactly what I was looking for, and you're telling me, well, we can only give you $76 back as a refund. or we don't actually give you your cash back. What we're going to do, we're going to give you credit to come here
right.
and buy something else.
Right. No, you're right. You're totally right on that one. You're totally dead on. Hey, I want to switch gears a little bit. And the world that you play in, you know, that you're really well versed in is internet streaming, streaming TV. Kind of like, you know, I was reading today, I was on Twitter this morning, and I got the message that, hey, Doctor Who is being pulled from Netflix and Hulu, and that, you know, BBC is going to come out with their own streaming services. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, is this going to be the norm? Is everyone, because this is now a market that's so crowded. You and I, we've talked in the past about physical devices. We've talked about, you know, some of these streaming services. What's the next evolution in this game, in this market that's so crowded?
Well, the evolution, as if you remember the last time I was on the show with you and I was telling you about Netflix, I was telling you about Hulu and how their margin in the market is starting to get dwindled. There are a lot of websites now in every cable provider and almost every television station is starting to set up their own streaming sources. You know, so like the BBC is doing a strong thing in the market by saying they're going to take one of their most popular shows, pull it back away from Netflix, pull it back away from Hulu, and we're going to ask you to subscribe to our network so that you're going to get all of the BBC programming at a budgeted price. So we're going to be moving away from paying Time Warner, Cablevision, DirecTV, Dish. We're going to be moving away from paying the corporations and, as I mentioned before, going directly to the source. If you know that ABC sponsors or has six or seven programs that you majorly watch, why do you need to pay $100 or $200 a month when you can say, you know what, ABC, I like what you've been producing for me, and I'm willing to give you that $20 a month. And now I'll stream everything over my tablet, my phone, or some of the new Android television boxes that people have been producing and that are coming out on the market or on my Roku. You know, I'm paying now just for the one service that I want. And cable companies are now getting afraid of that. Hulu's been getting afraid of that. Netflix is beginning leery of it. You know, everyone is now scrambling to get on board. As I mentioned before, with me being a Long Island resident and having Optimum, which is our local cable company here, they've come out with their own app. And that was to subsidize people having to use a cable box, which is that $20, $22 a month for just the device. Bring your own device is going to be the new norm. Do you have a computer? Do you have a tablet? Do you have a smartphone? Okay. Pay a monthly fee. Sign into our website or download our application.
sign in with your credentials, and you're ready to watch or stream the show or the episode that you want. It's just going to become the norm. It's going to be the new way that we're absorbing entertainment.
True. That's totally true. And you've, like I said, we talked about this many, many months ago and many, many moons ago outside of the show, offline. We talked about this, and you're dead on as usual, because that market, super crowded. Everyone has their own app. Go here, go there, download this. You can listen to whatever. So in that aspect, since that market is crowded and things are starting to shift, are the major players still the major players? Who do you see on the horizon? Let's not even touch the major players. Who's coming out? Who's like a dark horse candidate to be, you know, for 2016 that you could see, you know, playing in the space?
Well, for the home brew, which is where the market that I'm in, and if you're running your own, if you have your own PC and you're comfortable with your configuring and setting up your own software, for Windows, I'd recommend an application called MCTV, which is a media center television. You can Google it. You can find plenty of information online. And Kodi, which is another application which I use heavily. And there, you know, people just need to kind of look online and find out about the Kodi TV. You basically download an application. There's a little configuration that needs to get done. And you can start streaming shows and movies and things that are available already online. So I kind of recommend that people look into something like that and supplement their current cable and or Hulu services. You won't get every single item or every single program, but I'm sure that there's enough entertainment out there that'll be surprising to a lot of individuals. And the application Kodi, it's evolved in the last 4 years tremendously.
Okay.
Really have to people recommend that they kind of Google and look around at some alternative streaming sources.
So I guess one of my last questions that I'm going to have for you is, so there's been much to do about Apple TV. You know, it's Apple, probably, you know, I mean, all we have to do is say the name Apple, and, you know, everyone perks up, and you kind of
you're going to get everyone's ears raising as
right,
soon as they hear
right.
Apple. But
So tell me about the Apple TV. It seems like, you know, every time they have an event, there's Drake, there's Dr. Dre, there's someone coming out, there's hey, we're doing this exclusive for you know, their Apple Music. But the TV product hasn't really done much outside of us hearing, hey, there's a new remote.
Yeah, well, the Apple TV product, although it's a good product, remember that when you're getting into something like that, you're getting into a closed ecosystem. If Apple would embrace the idea of providing more of an open platform, it could be a little better, you know, for their devices. If you know people that have Roku has opened up their source code a little bit more, allowing a little bit more freedom with applications like Plex. You can actually configure and set up your device a little bit more customized and getting away from being the rigid norm. You know, so people are just now looking at more flexibility. And if you look in the market, there are a lot of these Android TV boxes. There are a lot of these Android TV boxes that are coming out, which are highly configurable with dozens of applications that can be downloaded from the Play Store and Aptoid and from other side load markets, where you can basically configure a system that has all of the programming or majority of the programming that you get from cable boxes. And it's almost like a pay one price, where you're buying the device, you're investing a little bit of your own time in configuring, getting it set up, and then you're going to sit back and just enjoy streaming. And the streaming is not limited to your local countries. You have access to things that are from everywhere around the world.
All right, that's fair. I'll do some research on some of the stuff that you've mentioned. As always, it's great to have you, dialing up and available. So tell us this much. What are the best ways to get in contact with you, either via social media or through your blog? If we want to hear more of this, interesting stuff or tidbits of information that you have about internet streaming, what's the best ways of contacting you, Michael?
Well, you can visit my website. It's wrc-pc.net, and there's a small article of things that I've been doing for that particular month or this particular time frame. I'm always available through email personally, and I do try to respond to everyone individually, and that is blancomichael0@gmail.com. So please feel free, reach out, send me your information, send me some contacts, get me some questions. I'm always willing to respond, and I'll give everyone feedback as best I can.
Michael, as always, thanks so much.
No, Ted, thank you.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents. And choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents. That's audibletrial.com/latenightparents and get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrials.com/latenightparents.
And we are back. Thanks to our good friends at Audible for, as always, sponsoring the show. We want to thank our new feature sponsor, Verizon Fios. We want to thank you guys for the partnership. Really excited. Wanted to thank our first guest of the evening, Michael B., who was talking about, we started going a little tech. We're techs by trade, but I think we broke it down into layman's terms. I think I got to have Michael back because we have to tackle not only these mobile devices, but the plans that are available nowadays. I think if not this time, I believe the previous conversation we had, we were talking about it's all about bandwidth. It's all about bandwidth. And that's something I'm definitely going to learn because I'm in the process of moving from my satellite provider to Verizon Fios TV. As I've mentioned before, really excited about the partnership there and looking forward to it's kind of like, having your own home office and your home office being almost as quick as your regular work office with your internet connection. Of course, we all know that's not really the truth, but when it's only a few of you in your home versus a vast network of several hundred or potentially thousands of people in your office, that's where you notice the speeds and, that's where we are with that. But really excited about Verizon Fios, excited about audible.com. Many, many more announcements are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure what happened, but my name must have been added to some list because my inbox was just on fire with some of our providers and PR firms. So I want to thank you guys also for enhancing the show's experience. And, of course, once again, thank you to our media partners that play the show, however, through their streaming mechanisms on their various websites and mobile devices. So I'm done talking about myself. I'm done talking about the partners. I think I have my little brother who's on the line, Bucko Bruce. going to bring him on. And when you see the two of us standing next to each other, I think I sent out a picture on his birthday because I had to shout him out for his birthday. I didn't actually get the chance to, you know, either drink a beer with him or eat some wings or you know, even beat him in a game of darts. But there's always time for that when the Mets play the Braves again, and I'm going to have to make my, I guess, annual trip down there to really, you know, drop it on Bucko, really, you know, with the darts. Or, but all joking aside, Bucko, glad to have you here. How you doing, brother?
Ted, my brother. Damn good to be here. I know that you introduced me as a little brother, but I don't know how the little brother is going to be bigger than the big brother, but we'll take that. We'll go ahead and roll with it. It's damn good to hear your voice, though, sir.
Oh, same here, man. I want to say, once again, happy belated birthday to you. I know
you
just celebrated a birthday. I know you got a lovely family. So before we even get into anything about football, we get into anything about the Super Bowl or HGH and all these other questions that I've got for you, how was the birthday? How's the family? Let's get through that first.
Oh, the birthday was great, man. The birthday was awesome. About 6 or 8 months ago, somewhere around summertime, I showed my fiance how to properly marinate and grill, you know, a steak. You know, I just showed her the tricks of the trade. And for my birthday, I came home from hanging out with the fellas about 8 o'clock to a freshly prepared ribeye and baked potato, and hung out with my kids. You know, they made presents for me and things of that nature. It was a beautiful day, man. And this is how you know you're getting old. On my birthday, I was asleep by about 10 o'clock. So, yeah. Other than that, no, it was fantastic, man. It was a great day. It's just another year at this point, man.
That's good. That's good, Bucko. Well, we're going to jump right into it. We'll hold off on the Super Bowl talk. There's a couple other things we gotta approach because this is a big week. We were watching Media Week and on opening night, and I don't even know what the heck is going on there. But wanted to talk to you about one of the topics is that the topic that just won't go away is Peyton and HGH and some deliveries coming to his house in 2011, and you got Roger Goodell on a Rich Eisen show talking about we're going to thoroughly investigate this and. What, I mean, give us your take on that.
Well, I did a little delving into it. I read further on it. And I mean, as it turns out, both Peyton and I believe his wife also had some pretty major surgery. And his wife had received some hormones or something to that effect via the mail from her doctor addressed to her. So she did, there was some sort of medication that I believe would be illegal in the NFL sense, but delivered to his wife, not to him. And I also know I've read further that the guy who initially whistleblew retracted everything and said that he was just throwing stuff out there to see if his sources can be trusted. I don't know how much to believe into that, but I will say this. You know me, I'm not a beat around the bush guy. If you sit there for 1 second and think that at least 65% of the National Football League is not on HGH at some point or now, then I'm sorry you're that naive. Even Peyton Manning. I guarantee you, every one of these players at some point, the great ones at least, have had to have some sort of supplemental assistance to achieve the level of greatness, especially a 17, 18-year career. So
gotcha.
I don't even want to go further into that. But Peyton Manning is guilty in this instance?
I
think they're chasing a rabbit trail, man. I mean, if you really, really dig and you waste taxpayer money on another senatorial dig into steroids, and yeah, I'm sure you'll find something, but that's not what we're going to do here. We're not going to have another Wells experiment. That's not going to happen here. I'm sorry.
Okay. I think the next question is, it came out in the New York Post about Kaepernick to the Jets.
Brandon Marshall killed that. Brandon Marshall said it perfectly. If you want to know my response to it, go read Brandon Marshall's response to it. Okay. There are guys who are great football players, and there are guys who are great athletes masking as football players. And Colin Kaepernick is nothing but a good athlete. He's not a football guy. He's not an NFL quarterback. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my football team. I agree with Brandon Marshall.
What's your thoughts on this relocation? You know, you got now you got the LA Rams, you got teams. One part of it is what's your thoughts on relocation, and what's your thoughts on these billionaires forcing, you know, stadiums to be built and using public tax dollars? I think that was a topic you and I and the rest of the BSS crew talked about years ago. About, mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on that? Like,
well, in particular, the Rams situation, I don't like what they're doing, with especially California being the way they're in. I mean, I believe if you're a resident of California, you haven't received any kind of state income tax return in the last, what, 8 or 10 years? So for the, to tax those citizens for an owner, and if I read correctly, the guy will not be sharing the revenue that he will make from using the stadium as a venue outside of football. He will pocket all of that revenue. Now, if you're telling me the city itself is putting up money to fund the stadium and will receive funds back for that stadium being used for things other than the football team, then I'm all for it, because the city will triple and quadruple the money that they put up. That's fine. But if they're putting up the money with no circulation, just preying on the hospitable tax and the people coming to visit the team, then they're stupid for doing that. I do agree that if a city is going to have a stadium, they should purchase and or pay for some of the building of said stadium, but they should also receive some kickbacks, some dividends for it. Like the Falcons, I believe that they made an agreement with the city of Atlanta, and so did the Braves, and those particular cities will receive percentages or what have you. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. But in the L.A. situation, I believe Stan Kroenke, if I'm right, is his name, he's not going to have to share any of the revenue with the city, which is absolutely stupid.
He might have put up his own money. I just know this much. You got
Tax money involved as well. Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
So there's quite a bit of tax money involved. He is putting up I think it's like a 70% share of it, but there's still 30% of it going to the city, and they won't get any of that back.
Got you. And is the situation the same with Spanos and Mark? Man, I can't remember his last name. The owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis.
Mark Davis. Mark Davis is actually. Did you read the latest of what might happen with the Raiders?
What are you talking about? Vegas or San Antonio?
Vegas is talking about building the city, building the stadium, excuse me, at 60% funded by the city.
Wow.
60%.
So they're all in.
Because of the draw that Vegas gets already with the sport book and what have you, if they have a team there, they don't need any revenue from that stadium. Just a team being there will sell itself. So the Vegas-Oakland idea, I think, is beautiful. And I think that should happen because that Oakland Coliseum, I believe there's more rats at that stadium any given Sunday than actual people. So I'm all about that. But they have declined the San Diego option. We all know you're not moving the Oakland Raiders to San Antonio, Texas. That's not a large enough market. They won't draw. We all know that. So I think the Vegas option is very viable. I think we should pay attention to that going forward. So
let's
the UNLV – UNLV's football team would use it to make money for the city that way by being a state university. So,
yes.
There you go.
Let's talk a little old school versus new school. Cam against Peyton. I mean, it's night against day, young against old, black against white, you name it. Is this going to really be
competition? We're not
going to
go to that ladder. We're not going to get into the ladder of that. Because, I think that's a problem with society when you start, you know, really – instead of seeing it as what it's supposed to be, is a
right.
great game amongst great men, we have to actually bring attention to the fact that Cam Newton is black. And
I
think that, you know, come on. I hate that aspect of our society, but it is what it is. Those pants he wore, oh, my Lord, they don't help anything. But the situation is this. Carolina, they had to play him twice a year. I want them to lose more than anybody probably walking this planet. It's not because I hate Cam Newton. Not because of anybody's color. It's because of my fandom and where my loyalties reside. Saying that, I don't see any way Carolina loses this football game, Ted. I don't see a way possible. I don't.
Gotcha.
I gotta throw something at you before we get into Super Bowl and all this other stuff. Did you hear the comment that Cam Newton says he speaks three languages? I think English, Spanish, and Ebonics. I mean, Bucko, we would have ripped him apart if we still had our panel together. We would have totally ripped him apart for making a comment like that. Super ignorant. Extremely ignorant.
He said two things that have really bothered me. Part of me wants to think that him himself wants to use the segregation or the separation of our society to his advantage. He wants that calling of him to be the best black this, black now. Take his color out. He's a hell of a damn quarterback. He's having the best season we've ever seen anybody have, okay? But
totally.
You sit up there on national TV and you say you're a black quarterback and people are scared of that, that A, makes Caucasians such as myself seem like we're simple and stupid. But we're scared of you because of you being black. That, I mean, that me personally took a little bit of offense to that, but I didn't look any deeper than face value. I just kept it moving. And then you come out and say Ebonics is a language to a guy like me. I don't know if your audience knows my upbringing. I'm one of the few white people you'll meet that actually lived in projects. And I know my slang vernacular. I know my job interview vernacular. I have all that as well. But to sit there and say Ebonics is a language, slang terminology is a language, that you're selling yourself short. You're making yourself sound less educated than you are. You have a college degree. You're a smart man, well-articulated man. Don't lessen yourself by saying stupid stuff like that. That's my view on it. Call me racist if you want to, but if you've met me, you know I'm the furthest from it. And I think that was a not positive way of thinking and not positive way of acting for a black man that's supposed to help young black guys that want to become where you are. Teach them that Ebonics and slang talk is not a language. That's something to be proud of, man.
Bucko, you're dead on. You're dead on, as usual, because like there's one thing where I can sit now right here on my soapbox and say, oh, I speak to Bucko when I need him to come on the show. No, we speak outside of the show. We speak on all topics, and that's how our team was. That's how we were built on, talking about topics and saying, hey.
That's how it started. That's not how it continued. But wait, that's another story.
That's another story. That's the subscription service that we're going to get going. You want to hear about this story? But I will
still
say this.
My T-shirts.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts? The one thing I did see, Josh Norman, the cornerback for the Panthers. Boy, he was throwing Deion Sanders some shade at opening night, and I loved every minute of it.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. Josh Norman's story, the way that he made it to where he's at, is outstanding, fantastic. Sleeping in his car, doing everything he can, sleeping with teammates to make this team and get to where he's at. To play on the field, what he's put through, the work he's put in, fantastic. I congratulate the young man. But when he opens his mouth, him and Ted Ginn, his teammate, might be the two dumbest people I've ever heard speak publicly. Now, Josh Norman, I'm going to give him credit. He's trying to build a brand. He's trying to make himself known because he has had to scratch and claw and fight to get to where he's at. Brother, bless yourself. Maximize your dollar in a contract year. Absolutely. Build your brand. But you going to throw shade at probably the greatest cover corner to ever play football? Why? Why are you going to disrespect Deion Sanders? Why are you going to put yourself out there as if you're the greatest thing to ever do this? Because you're not, my friend. You're damn good, but you're not prime time. Give prime time his respect. Florida State. All right. I'm letting it go right there.
We're talking to the original Bucko Bruce. That's on Twitter. You can find me at Bucko Bruce 83. Bucko, I want to ask you about, and this is a very touchy topic, but we're noticing it more and more every day. We keep hearing about these retired players and they're, as they pass away, the levels of CTE. I'm not sure if you got the chance to watch the movie Concussion. I think you and I, we were talking about League of Denial like 2.5 years ago. That was available on Frontline on PBS. And everyone that loves Concussion and Will Smith so much, then that's great. But I encourage people, and you and I, we both encourage people to watch, go to the PBS.org, click on Frontline, and punch in League of Denial. And you'll see the real stories. Mm-hmm. You won't see anything that, you know, the drama and the Hollywood version. But, Bucko, it's so scary. It's so scary because we keep hearing about CTE, and this one had, you know, we're talking about the snake, Kenny Stabler, had stage 3 CTE. Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
No one does. No one does. I mean, the science, the medical, as the movie portrays in the late 80s, early 90s, there came research and there came information showing that this violent sport that we all love does cause trauma to the brain. I mean, me personally, I've actually had a serious head injury. I've had my skull fracture, things of that nature. I probably have some form of CTE, okay? The only thing was the NFL, blinded by profit and blinded by perception, failed to do due justice by the guys that paved the way to get them to where they're at. And that's why it's such a big story. That's why those guys didn't settle. That's why it's still going to be an ongoing issue until a company that makes, there's a company now, it's not a not-for-profit anymore, you're a company that makes $10 billion annually, and you act as if you don't have to pay forward what you did in the past? No, sir. No, sir. Time to do right. And I hope those players get everything they deserve.
Totally. I totally agree with you. Want to switch really quick. I was reading Bleacher Report today, and it came across my phone that the Rams, the L.A. Rams that we were just talking about, are considering or discussing bringing on Peyton Manning next season. I'm like, what in the world's going on here? How do we even know this guy is not done? They got to sell tickets.
They got to sell tickets.
They got to sell tickets, anything.
What the hell is Nick Foles and that collection of stiffs they have over there? Besides Todd Gurley,
right.
What the hell are they going to draw? No, I mean, here's my scenario. I'm going to go on record on my favorite guy, Teddy Two Teams Radio Show. I want you to stamp this date right here.
You got
what's
it.
Today? February 3rd.
February 3rd, 2016.
The St. Louis Rams will sign free agent quarterback Robert Griffin III.
Oh.
The same guy that they traded the second overall pick for a slew of players,
yes.
They're going to turn around and they're going to get the same guy back 4 years later anyway, just so Robert Griffin can screw it to the Redskins one more time. You write that down.
I will. I will. Hey, I know we're running close on time. I want to ask you your predictions. You kind of gave it to me earlier, but formally, your predictions for Sunday's game. I mean, do you think it's going to be a blowout? Do you think it's going to be close?
No.
I mean, everyone's predicting the Panthers. But what's your thought?
I think it will be close. I think these two defenses combined are very, very good. Very good. And plus, with the league being the way it is, if you don't believe a fix is in, I'm sorry for your naivete. But I believe there will be certain calls to go certain ways to keep this game close. But I don't see very, very many opportunities for Peyton Manning to score against this defense. I see the game being close throughout most of the game, but I see it eventually being about a 17-7, maybe 17-10 Carolina Panthers victory. I'm not an advocate to convince people to gamble, but the line is at 5.5 and the over-under is at 45. I took Carolina with the under. Let's just leave it there.
Do you see the Panthers kind of duplicating this season, or this is going to be one of those once-in-a-lifetime seasons, or do you see them battling next season? Maybe not at 15-1, But where do you see the Panthers? I don't want to say the word dynasty. I don't want to say that word because, you know, that's something totally different.
No, you can't. You really cannot because of the fact that they only have, I think, $18 million of cap space. And there's guys like Josh Norman, both of their safeties, an offensive lineman, and some other key guys, Ted Ginn, other key guys that are part of this team are all coming up for contract. They don't have the ability to retain all of them. As we all know, you have to manage the money with the talent. But the way Cam Newton has played this season, outside of his mind, I mean, just ridiculous. If he can continue that, that's as far as the Panthers will go. They have a makeup, they have a nucleus that they can keep together and can have continued success. Me personally, I'm rooting for the downfall starting this Sunday. However, I don't think it's very likely. I think they have a good nucleus. Ron Rivera is doing a damn good job over there. And you really have to tip your cap to what they've done this season. It's historic. They've had probably, I'd say of all time, probably the third best season, period, in NFL history as a team.
I mean,
go back and look at the history.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the next time you'll find a team that has the number two offense in the league and the number six defense in the league. Name me a combination of the two rankings on both sides of the ball that are that high. You know, you had the number one offense, but you know what? That number one offense had the number 18 defense, or vice versa. You've never had someone that high in the top seven of the league in both categories. I mean, they really have done a fine job. But if anybody can do it, it'll be the sheriff, man. I'm pulling for him.
Want to ask you really quick thoughts on Norman. Do you think Norman gets paid, or does he get the franchise tag?
Well, one or the other. He's not walking. He will not be in a different uniform in 2016. I promise you that. He is from Carolina. That's his home. He went to Coastal Carolina University. That's where he wants to be, and that's where he should be. The way he's played for them the past two seasons, I think Pro Football Focus has him as the number one or number two corner the past two seasons as far as, you know, completion percentage against and things of that nature. I know he did a hell of a job against Jameis Winston. So I tip my cap to the way the young man plays. I wish he would shut up a little bit because it diminishes how great his play is right now. But I think he will get paid by Carolina, yes. I do.
Bucko, I got less than 2 minutes. What's the best way to get in contact with the original Bucko Bruce?
Hey, man. Social media. I'm on Twitter, Bucko Bruce 83. Twitter, same. Facebook, Bucko Bruce 83. And I will engage. Hit me up. Let's chat.
Got you. Bucko, I want to give you a round of applause. As always,
hey,
I appreciate you. As always.
It's a pleasure being here. Pleasure. I always love being here. But next time, you know, instead of the round of applause, you know, I heard in the preamp that you got some Verizon backing. Let's get your boy a little bit of help on his cell phone bill, man. I'm a Verizon customer.
You got it. We're going to be working it. We're going to be talking about it. You got that, brother. You know I love you. And we definitely
love
going to talk to you later, bro.
All right, man. See you.
And that was Bucko Bruce. Glad to have him join the show. Really, you know, it's a really great show. Talked a little NFL. We talked a little tech. We talked Amazon. We talked streaming. As always, we want to thank you for joining us and supporting us. And like I said, the LMP universe is expanding. Want to thank you guys once again. We'll be back next week. I know next week we have the legendary C.S. Keys from the C.S. Keys Show out in San Diego will be joining us. We're going to be talking about the Chargers and everything going on out there, Super Bowl aftermath. Slew of guests we have coming up over the next few weeks. Thank you much. Happy February, and we will talk with you next week.